This interview with representatives from Pulse Data has been generously provided to us by Jim Layton of the Radio Information Service in Belleville, Illinois, and we thank them for making this available to a worldwide audience.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Talk Back on this Tuesday, November the 12th, 2002. We have a guest in the studio and a guest via the phone. Joining me in the studio is a sales rep for the area for the folks from Pulse Data Humanware, John Mortimer. John, good to see you again, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
And also via the phone is Mr. Larry Lewis, Product Marketing Manager at Pulse Data Humanware International. Larry, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, how are you?
Good to have you. John, the obvious question, sir, is how did someone from England end up in the Midwest selling Pulse Data Humanware products?
I started off working for the company back in California. And recently had a son who's now 16 months old, and all my wife's family are from St. Louis and the Mexico area, so we decided once we had a son to move back home.
You sell the product in a very large regional area. Tell us the places you sell the device in.
I cover the whole of Missouri, the whole of Kansas, and also southern Illinois.
Oh, you got to put a lot of miles in the vehicle.
Yeah, pretty much. I drive around about 1,000 to 1,500 miles a week.
You told me you're going to Kansas tomorrow?
Going to Kansas tomorrow. I'll be there for 2 days.
Now, Larry, how long have you been with the company, and what do you do, sir?
I have been with the Pulse Data Group for almost 4 years. I began with Pulse Data, what is now known as Pulse Data Humanware. Many of your listeners will know Humanware Incorporated to be a West Coast-based solutions provider for persons who are blind, visually impaired, or learning disabled. And I began working directly with Humanware Incorporated as their blindness products manager, overseeing all of the different products that Humanware sells. And Humanware does quite a bit more than just sell the Braille Note family of products, which we'll be discussing today. And I oversaw all of the different types of solutions that Pulse Data Humanware provides. About 18 months ago, Pulse Data International, which is a New Zealand-based company, purchased Humanware from a Dutch-ran company based in the Netherlands. And with that transition, I moved into more of a direct role with Pulse Data International as their direct product marketing manager, which really is more or less the link between development efforts, sales and marketing and promotional efforts, and service and support efforts around the world. Pulse Data International has other companies in Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, and primarily my role is to spend about two-thirds of my time working with our North American company, which is Pulse Data Humanware, and the other third of the time working with the other companies.
Now, John and Larry, let's talk about, you mentioned the merger a little bit ago. Can you give us some insight, gentlemen, about how that merger came about and why it came about?
I could do that. Since I was pretty much in the mix before the merge as well. Pulse Data Humanware, and I'll just refer to it as Pulse Data Humanware from this point. It's undergone a couple of name changes, but for all intensive purposes, we'll just refer to it as Pulse Data Humanware. It's been around for about 14 years, and initially was owned by Pulse Data International in New Zealand. One-third of it was owned by New Zealand. The other third was owned by the Dutch company, which is named Tiemann. Many of you are familiar with the Tiemann cells and either the Alva products or the Braille Note family of products. And the other third was owned by the staff of Humanware. About 7 or 8 years ago, Tiemann bought the respective interests from New Zealand as well as the staff and owned it 100%. That nevertheless did not negate the fact that Pulse Data International and Humanware had a very strategically important distribution relationship where Humanware did all of the sales, marketing, and support for Pulse Data-related products in the United States. With the rise of the Braille Note and the success of the Braille Note and so forth, it just strategically made more sense for Humanware to come back under the Pulse Data umbrella again, as well as Pulse Data looking for a more direct means of promoting its closed-circuit video magnifiers, its SmartView CCTVs. This made more sense to merge its U.S.-based low-vision company with Humanware, which was the blindness company, as well as some of the assets associated with both companies into this big, much bigger, more formidable company, that being Pulse Data Humanware. And that's really how Pulse Data Humanware came into being and how you know, John and other staff were more or less brought into the mix from the John worked for a company for a while that was loosely associated with Pulse Data Humanware, and now is 100% owned. And there's just so many different staff changes and reassignments, and just to get everything in place for us to provide the best service possible to the North American continent. One of those changes was me shifting into more of a direct role with the New Zealand-based company to direct product and marketing efforts as it relates to the BrailleNote family.
John, when you came into this, the market, do they see you as someone who is a resource to them? I mean, you're selling this device. Do other competition see you as competition, or do they see you as a resource? Where do other players in this game look at Pulse Data Humanware, what you're selling?
I think more in the realms of the low vision side, because I deal quite a bit with the low vision CCTVs. There's three or four different competitors that all go out and do the same demonstrations to the same clients, and we actually get along pretty well. Everybody knows that the CCTVs basically are designed to enlarge the print, and all the competitors' systems do exactly the same thing. So we're all out there really getting along pretty well.
Now, when you entered the market, Larry and John, what group of people did Pulse Data Humanware decide to target when it came to the blind community, and why target these individuals?
Pulse Data Humanware has had a long-standing presence in the educational arena as it relates to school districts, purchasing agents, vision teachers, and has had a very, very much a long-standing commitment to Braille literacy. We feel that literacy really begins in the classroom from a very early age, from very functional Braille literacy type skill building, and then technology should then be used as a means to accomplish specific tasks in the classroom. We understand that a vision teacher doesn't really care about how many megabytes or gigabytes or megahertz something is. They care more about how is this going to help my student complete a specific task in the classroom. How is this going to make them ready to become competitively employed and successful in the vocational arena? Because of the efforts, just the long-term efforts of Pulse Data Humanware within education, probably about two-thirds of our sales would be educationally oriented. It hasn't really been until the BrailleNote that we've really seen, at least on the blindness front, that we've really seen some penetration into the rehab sector, and more importantly, just into the end user sector. Persons at the consumer shows, both the NFB and ACB shows, and the summer conventions, it's just been wildly embracing this product. And I mean, dropping credit card numbers and writing checks for products on the floor. And that type of shift for Humanware has been really. I mean, it's been a pleasant surprise, but it's been something that's really taken sales out of just the educational sector and moved them more into the rehab and residential-type sectors and the adult markets as well. So I think there will always be a long-standing commitment to education with a commitment to also provide solutions for these other important areas as well that may have not been as served as well as they could have been prior to the BrailleNote.
Question for both of you. Do you think this market is growing, shrinking? Is it oversaturated? Where do both of you perceive the market as it is today?
I see the market as being very keenly aware of what note takers are. And what I always say is, for once, persons who are blind are just strides and strides ahead of persons who have vision as it relates to portable information management. The new rage today is pocket PCs, Palm Pilots, and so forth. And every sighted businessman and folks walking around the airports or the downtown sectors and so forth have their Palm Pilot, have their pocket PC, or entering data or manipulating information. We've been doing that for 16 years. thanks to Dean Blasey and a number of other types of developments like that, we've had that type of portable instantaneous access, that on-off instantaneous portable access to increase our own productivity. So I think there's a keen awareness to note takers. I feel that, I wouldn't say that it's saturation. I feel that there is quite a large lazy install base. I mean, For your listeners, I am also a blind user of this technology. So I'm also speaking from a user's perspective. I can remember my very first Braille and Speak Classic in graduate school in the late 80s and just how amazed I was by such a small portable device and being able to access information quickly and efficiently without lugging around the Perkins Brailler or being tied to an Apple-type system where you're not very mobile, and how amazed I was with that. I think that you've seen a number of shifts in the mainstream from proprietary operating systems to DOS to more recently Windows, and I don't think you've really seen those transitions on the portable note-taking front prior to the Braille notes. I think that if we take an honest assessment of how things are, really, your products that you may have started with 12 years ago, despite a few updates, really haven't changed a whole lot. There's been some updates, and there's been some right. things that have come along, but I mean, with all due respect, there really hasn't been any drastic changes to those products. And I really think that we came out and offered just a really fresh, different approach to portable information management. And we can get into that product philosophy soon, but I still am just being so close to this product and being involved in the initial speccing of this development am just truly amazed with this product only being 2.5 years old and what an install base we've been able to create with this product. I had no idea that it would ever be as wildly received as it has been. And again, that's because I'm very subjective and very close to it. And, you know, in my opinion, feel it's a great product. But when you objectively have people wanting it and people asking for it and so forth, and just, you know, really buying, especially in education and so forth, buying, you know, 8 to 10 units at a time and so forth, I wouldn't say there's market saturation. I would say that the market as a whole, you know, you've got 9/11, you've got the war on terrorism. I think that's had a slight negative effect, although a lot of the educational monies and rehab monies are still earmarked for adaptive technology. I think you've seen a slight setback because of just the economy as a whole, but I think there's just a more keener awareness. There's more of a commitment to investing in technology that you're going to be happy with. And as far as, you know, in my estimation, Pulse Data and Freedom Scientific, the two heavy hitters with note takers, have a undaunted responsibility to this industry to provide you the best alternatives possible because of that keen awareness.
Dan, you're out there pounding the beat, selling this device, the Braille note and the voice note. You're out there covering St. Louis and Kansas and Illinois. What kind of response do you see? How cutthroat is it these days?
I think the main departments that I work with, in especially in Missouri, is the Department of Rehab. For people starting jobs, for school age students that are going into college as well. I've seen that the voice note, especially at the moment, is a very big seller.
So that part of the market you think is an oversaturated? Is that what we're saying here?
I think rehab is an area where we haven't done the job that we need to do to penetrate that market. And part of that could be attributed to the product not having, not initially having all of the types of things that are important for a rehab purchasing agent to purchase somebody a piece of equipment to be successful on the job. I think there's a lot of personal benefits to the Braille note and in a personal type setting, but I think now with the release of our web browser, which we'll talk about, as well as a synchronization utility that we're coming out with, that's going to help us really tap into some markets that we haven't been quite as successful, and a lot of that isn't the fault of the sales team or marketing team. That then the responsibility lies on development to give them something that could then go into those markets aptly equipped to try to penetrate sales that they haven't been able to get before.
Let's talk Braille note and voice note. We'll talk Braille note first. Can either John or you, Larry, give me a little background on how the development of the Braille note came about and where we are with it today?
The Braille note came about as in response to what the Pulse Data Group felt was not occurring on the portable information management front. We really, as I said, didn't feel there were the changes in place for portable technologies. Having said that, we wanted to preserve a lot of the good stuff that we thought was already ingrained or entrenched in how note-taking was being handled, such as cording commands, navigating through documents, moving through menus, all those different hotkeys and so forth that many of us are familiar with. O chord for option, moving by character line, sentences, and all those different things. We wanted to keep all that and keep a very intuitive, blind-friendly environment. And the best way that we felt we could do that would be to incorporate a very small, scaled-down version of Windows into the product, that being Windows CE. And by incorporating Windows CE into the product, we could preserve a very user-friendly, blindness-type environment that we all know, while at the same time having more of a mainstream back-end, which would allow for information to be shared with persons using Windows-based hardware and software. We have a productivity suite of applications that is named Keysoft, and Keysoft has been around since about the late 80s. It actually started as a talking word processor that Pulse Data produced in the late 80s, and then migrated, had a number of different evolutions, and more recently has been developed more for Windows CE. And Keysoft is a suite of applications that allows the individual to conduct word processing, planning, setting appointments. I mean, I have a number of different things going on, and when you called me to do the interview, the very first thing that I did was enter this into the planner with an alarm and everything. There's an alarm system and so forth to remind you of your appointments and so forth. We have an address database that uses a Microsoft database in the back end, but a very easy overlay on the front end so that you can manage contact information. Email client, really the first product to come out with standard POP email access.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Running in the back end. Also, we most recently have released an Internet Explorer type, browser type functionality called KeyWeb. We also have a scientific calculator. We have file management utilities and also synchronization utilities for file sharing and so forth. And so, again, we wanted to really make it so that you had a lot of intuitiveness in the device. The intent is we're not really interested and accessing Windows. We feel that access to Windows belongs under the auspices of a screen reader on a PC. We want to be compatible with the efforts that might be produced on a PC or such devices. And so we more or less strive for compatibility with Windows rather than accessing Windows. And that would be the primary difference between what we're doing and then what's happening on the screen reading front and so forth.
John, when you're selling this device, are people saying, is this more than a note taker, and you tell them you can do other things with it? What's your approach when showing them this device with Windows CE in it?
I think for me, the main thing is that I describe it as a Palm Pilot for a blind user. I'm visual, so I use a Palm Pilot every day. I have my calendar, my address book, my email, and you can do all of that on the Braille note.
Now, we talked a little bit about Windows CE. What do you gentlemen see are the advantages using Windows CE, and what are the limitations? Because we must remember that Windows CE is, I like to call it, a mini version of Windows. So there are some limitations here. John, Larry, talk about that for a minute.
Well, I would liken that comparison to the limitations or the differences between maybe using a ball peen hammer and a sledgehammer. It really depends on the type of task that you're trying to perform. And what I mean by that is Windows CE, if I want very quick, very easy access, very instantaneous flip-on boot up time, I have several PCs, but I have a work PC that runs Windows 2000, takes a good 90 seconds to boot up. I then have to load a screen reader. I then have to open up an application. I then have to interact in that application, close it, maybe shut my PC down or what have you. Could make a 3-minute task a 10-minute task, depending on what I want to do. If I want that quick instantaneous access, that's great, and that's what I would want to use it for specific tasks. So on the Braille notes end of things, then we would have the result that would be something that would be compatible with the PC. If I want to do something very high-powered with loads and loads of formatting, spreadsheets, bullet points, and different things like that in Microsoft Word, perhaps, then I might want to use my sledgehammer to get the job done, and then have results that I could then port down to my pocket device or my mobile device like my Braille Note. And so I think a lot of it depends on the task that you want to use. Our browser, for example, very good, very intuitive browser, but it operates under the constraints of Windows CE. And
we'll talk about that in a minute, too.
Okay, good, good. So a lot of it depends on the tasks that you're wanting to perform. I don't think you're going to find, I think if I asked John, are you going to throw away your PC because you're using a Palm Pilot, John would probably be fairly amused by that.
Yeah, yeah. That would definitely be a no.
Okay.
Right.
So let's talk. We've talked about word processing, John and Larry. Talk about, and for those of us who are either type and speak or braille and speak users, how difficult, what's the learning curve on doing word processing with these devices? How difficult, say I've been a type and speak user for, I guess, about 3-4 years now. If I wanted to use a braille note, how tough is it going to be able to do some notes or go to my calendar or do my phone book? How tough is that going to be? What's the learning curve like?
The learning curve is not too great. There are two major things you have to keep in mind with the braille note. You have two primary menus. You have a main menu and you have an options menu. Your main menu is kind of like your programs menu on your desktop PC that houses all of your applications. Your options menu is more or less like your control panel on your PC that allows for customization of, if there's Braille output, which there can be. We do have a type and speak model with Braille output as well. But speech, just different types of things with your keyboard and so forth and so on. It's very hotkey driven, so I know that all of my tasks in my main menu from word processing, planning, email, internet are all hotkey driven, so I could just simply type W for word processing, C to create a file, type the file name, enter, and away I'm in a blank document, and I can use my arrow keys much like I would do in on a PC to navigate and so forth. Delete. The nice thing about our word processors, we don't really believe so much in an overwrite mode as much as, or in a pen mode as much as we believe in keeping things very consistent with how they're done on a PC. So inserting and deleting are very PC-like, and that's a major difference with the type and speak and the Blazy products to the way that we do things. Very hotkey-driven, and in situations where you get lost, we have context-sensitive help built in so that anywhere that I'm at, any applications that I'm in, if I hit my help key on my QWERTY keyboard or just a QWERTY H on my Braille keyboard, I'm going to get a help message as to what to do or be dropped in a context-sensitive, specific help menu in a given application. And that's, to me, a lot more easier than dealing with a computer Braille question mark with a space bar and then searching for a text string and a big help file. We have context-sensitive help over 4,000 prompts built in for anywhere that you could be in the Braille note. We also have the manual indexed alphabetically as well as by table of contents online so that you can go to your options menu, press U for user's guide, and bang, you've been given the option of searching by table of contents or index for a specific topic.
John, when somebody buys a Braille note, do they get a Braille manual? Do they get a tape manual? What do they get, John?
We do a tape manual. Is that right, Larry? Is that a tape manual?
Yep, we have a tape getting started tutorial.
Yep. And also, really, I can't say it anymore. It's so easy to use out of the box. I can go in and do a demonstration with a student who has never used a system before, and within maybe 30 minutes have them typing out a document, printing out a document.
With the people you've sold them to that are like me, a type and speak or a braille and speak user, have they said any comments about this is harder than what I've been doing, John?
I've found a lot of people think it's actually easier than what they're doing. Again, if you've been doing something for 4 or 5 years, it's like if you've been a Mac user for 4 or 5 years and then all of a sudden having to go to a Windows system, it's going to be a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
But I found actually it's a lot easier.
Now, we talked about doing the internet and the email. There is a built-in modem in the Braille note. How easy, difficult is it to get your PAPA account in there and to start doing email?
Underneath the email menu, there's a setup option, and then there's a directory of services option under that, which allows you to add a service. And it's very much like dial-up networking, where you would put in a name for your service, select your modem to use, and that could either be your internal modem. It could also be a network connection through your compact flash card slot through a network card, which I use more than a modem. It also has fields for phone numbers, service username and password, email username and password if you have multiple accounts. And it also allows you to put your POP and SMTP mail addresses in, and allows you whether or not you're logging onto a network, and asks you whether or not you want to wait for a dial tone, and that's pretty much it.
Now, is there you said something about an address book. Is that pretty easy to get to, so I'm not typing in the address every time I'm trying to send a message?
It's tied directly to your email so that I could, for instance, what's ironic is John, you know, who works with me as a Pulse Data employee, John doesn't know if I'm writing from my Braille note or my PC half the time because the results are so seamless. I have John in my address book. I know that that's jmortimer@humanware.com. If I type John Mortimer's name, it will just simply, I could even type this J-O-H and hit enter.
It'll start typing it. Like,
it'll bring up all my Johns in my address book, and I have to pick the ones that I want.
Okay, so that's almost like Outlook then.
Very Outlook Express-like, I would think, would be a better way to summarize it.
So it's very easy. Give me an idea. Give our listeners an idea of some of the commands, like reply, forward, and write real quick.
Reply, we have an actions menu. You would just hit a command for the action menu and press R. Action menu F for forward.
Is it W for write first?
W for write. You can connect to a service to chat, to send and receive email, or to connect to your service. You can read email. That's R. You can also create boxes within your email folders to move emails to. You can delete email. You can empty your trash folder, your deleted items. It's very real easy to use. And what's nice is you're able to interact. I'm a Braille writer, so it's nice because you can, you know, attach a Braille file as a Microsoft Word or an RTF file to your email message and write your message in grade 2 Braille and so forth. And it's real, for people who like to read and write Braille especially, it's just really awesome to be able to interact in grade 2 Braille and have the results come out in that type of a fashion on the other end, on a PC end.
Now, you talked a little bit ago, gentlemen, about the KeyWeb and the KeySoft. Talk about this KeyWeb browser, because it is a little bit different than what we are used to using with, say, Internet Explorer. So talk about that a minute or two.
Well, it's using Internet Explorer for Windows CE as its browsing engine, and we've pretty much built our Access shell around it, which is very note-taker-like. So it is a little bit different. For instance, I can go to a website, and I can have that page displayed in front of me very much like a word processing document. And I can use all of those specific commands to navigate forwards, backwards, word, character, line, sentence, paragraph, and so forth. And I can do all those types of commands reading a web page. I can also navigate by links. I can navigate by input control for filling out forms. And I could hit a space to move forward by links. I could hit a backspace to move backwards by links. I could hit a space 4-6 to move forward by input control, to fill out a search field or to make an online purchase. I can move by frames. I could also move by headings. I could also move to my first non-link block of text to get past all the links and gibberish at the top of a page. And I can set that line width to be maybe 50 characters or 80 characters. By default, it's 50 characters. So I can hop past all of that gibberish and stuff I might not want to read just to read the actual story or news that I might want to read. I can open up websites, I can mark them as favorites, and I can share those favorites if I want to email them as attachments with John so he could click on those as an email attachment and go to a specific website. I can also synchronize those favorites. I have all my favorites off my PC on my Braille note, just so I can always share favorites back and forth and not have to remember just hundreds of Internet addresses.
Now, there are some limitations here, as we talked about earlier, with the KeyWeb and the Windows CE. One of the issues that's going on with this, as you know, Larry, what we talked about is the JavaScript issue and not being able to access some websites. What are you guys doing to solve that problem, and are we looking at an upgrade sometime soon to solve this issue?
Well, I think what we'll have to do is migrate as Windows CE migrates to handle some of these JavaScript issues, because we're a bit handcuffed by how CE handles Internet Explorer for CE handles these on commercial devices. And, you know, there's not lots we can do until we migrate with Microsoft and Microsoft makes the necessary changes. There are, I would say, out of all the sites that I go to, I think 85 to 90% of them are fine. There might be some really tricky ones that even sometimes are hard to handle up with IE6 on a PC with a screen reader. So I won't say that there isn't situations like if you're in a forum that has JavaScript and you're trying to click on a button that might not let you click and so forth. There are situations as that arises, but as John indicated, we're trying to parallel the efforts of our Palm Top counterparts, and we can't really move any faster than our mainstream counterparts can move based on constrictions of the operating system.
John, have you had problems with selling this device because of this issue? Has that come up with you?
Not at all. No.
Okay.
Not right now.
Another issue that we've talked about, Larry and John, is the issue of you at this point of doing this interview, you cannot do audio with the Braille note or the voice note. What are you doing to solve that? Are we talking sometime in the future, RealPlayer, Winamp, Windows Media? What are we looking at here?
We're talking sometime in the future, that being addressed. We can, I can't get into time frames and stuff, but I would say sometime in the immediate future we should have, we're looking at some different options. The option, the issue is I don't want to say that by January 15th you'll be able to use audio, because I want to make sure that anything that we do, it's done correctly, and that it has a nice user interface, and that it's very functional. We could put today, I mean, we could put in something that just would be, yes, you could hear noise through the Braille note, but it would be pretty lousy, and the UI wouldn't be any good. And I think doing something halfway or not doing it well can detract from things that you've done well, and I would rather us do something, make a commitment to do something right, and even if it means by CSUN 2003, we're demonstrating it with the intent to release it. I would rather do it that way when it's ready to be shown.
What about MP3 to be able to play music and files?
Yep, that's, again, would fall under the audio issue. In fact, I would think that MP3 would be the first point of attack, because it's in my estimation, in dealing with the market, probably, while there's so many different file formats and players and so forth, it's probably the most popular in my estimation.
And I'm assuming we're talking an upgrade that we're going to be putting some bucks out for, correct?
If it were an upgrade, it would be very nominal. We've already had a hardware-software upgrade this summer, and so we want to be sensitive to that for the coming years.
What about antivirus that everybody's concerned about?
Because we rely so heavily on the Keysoft suite of applications, and really there hasn't been any real concerted effort to really develop viruses to attack Keysoft, we don't really have an antivirus software program at this time. It's really not a means. If you were to get a virus on the Braille note, firstly, just nothing would happen. The attachment probably wouldn't even be recognized or be able to be open. Secondly, the virus really wouldn't know how to associate itself with your address book to spread itself. So at this stage, it's a moot point until a twisted blind programmer comes out with a way to, I guess, attack Keysoft.
What about protecting the system from being hacked?
There's really not. It's a fairly closed system. There's really not. I mean, I'm connected to my network right now, and there's really not any way for anybody to. There's not file and print sharing yet with drives. We're looking at doing some things like that, and if we do that, we'd have to password protect it.
Right. John, we talked about the audio a little bit ago. Have people been clamoring you for something that plays audio?
There's been a few people that have asked about it, and really it's the same response that Larry's given. We definitely don't want to rush into anything and do anything halfway. If we're going to come out with it, we want to do it the proper way. And if it takes a year, if it takes 2 years, then I don't know.
I don't think it'll take a year.
Well, no. It's just we definitely don't want to be coming out with anything sooner than we're happy with.
You have a phone call.
Good afternoon. You're on Talk Back with John Mortimer and Larry Lewis.
My question is, I know that you can plug in a 3.5 floppy drive. If you got a portable, one of those portable CD-ROM things, could you plug that into it possibly?
at this stage, we would need to have driver support for that CD-ROM to plug in. But, I mean, it's conceivable. I personally feel that within the next six to 18 months, you're really going to see floppy drives begin to fall by the wayside and floppy disks fall by the wayside. I think you're seeing a lot of teachers and things like that hanging on to the idea of a floppy disk, but they're getting harder and harder to even find in some PCs. And so I think the challenge will be, how do we use that PC card slot to then shift to a more appropriate storage medium, such as a CD drive or a zip drive?
All right. Thank you, Jim. Larry, before we do run out of time, real quickly, let's talk about the book reader. Now I'll let you demonstrate the Braille note and the voice note.
Okay. The book reader at this stage is more or less a very protected place where you could store books on your flash disk and utilize the book reader to access those books. And you would access those in a write-protected fashion. And we've done that so that individuals who go in and might be doing some courting and reading around or what have you, so that they're not able to bump a button or just automatically edit their book that's in there. So it's a very write-protected type situation that's very word processor-like. What's truly amazing with the browser working with the book readers, you can actually, for instance, I belong to Web Braille, which is with the Library of Congress. I'm sure most of your listeners have at least heard of Web Braille.
Mm-hmm.
And I can download a book from the Internet or a magazine or what have you and save it to my book reader and just on the go, just have that information just instantly accessible to me. That's a big deal because I like to read. I can remember getting things like the New York Times and ESPN and things like that 6 weeks after the fact using our lovely Free Matter service. Now I can get them within a week of being put up on the Web Braille site.
All right. All right, let's put this thing through its paces. Let's hear what a Braille note can do.
Okay, let me first of all get my speakers and everything else on. And let me give us a little bit of volume.
This would be good.
13, 19.
Can you hear that?
Bring up a little more.
Volume 23.
Is that better?
Good. That's good. Go.
Okay. So we have two menus, as I said.
Main menu.
Which I can get to either by hitting a main menu key or all six keys with my space bar. We also have an options menu.
Options menu.
Which allows for customization of the unit. And we're going to focus primarily on the main menu.
Main menu.
With our main menu, I could use my cording commands to move forward, I could use my space bar to move forward through a menu, or I could use my backspace.
Word processor.
And I have all of my tasks here.
Planner. Address list.
And I could simply press enter on any of these to activate them, or if I didn't want to navigate to them, I could just press the initial letter, such as a W, a P, an A, what have you.
Okay, so you can do like W for Word and P for phone?
Yeah, P for planner, A for address list, E for email, B for book reader, I for internet.
Okay, so show us how the phone book would work.
Okay, so I could go to my address list.
Okay.
Key list menu.
And the application is called Key List, and we're in a submenu.
Add address. Look up address. Copy addresses. Look up address. Add address.
So, for instance, I could just quickly add.
Entry list of last name.
I'll type Mortimer. I'm in a database.
Mortimer, first name.
I could type John.
John, middle name, title, home phone number, business phone number, cell phone number, home email address, business email address.
And I could just type J. Mortimer.
Cap. Mortimer at.
Humanware.com. I think he's in there anyway. I'm just demonstrating that.
Home fax number, business email address. Currently, Mortimer at humanware.com.
Now, this is an example where I misspelled com. I could just quickly route my cursor, delete instantaneously, and fix that without having to go into any special mode. So I have jmortimer at humanware.com. I have fax numbers, street address, all that information I can fill out. When I go back to look up John Mortimer, I'll just see his name and email address, and I could add fields if I want to go back in and re-edit. So it's very database-like.
Can you show us how to do email or the internet?
Yeah, I can do both quickly. I can show you email.
Record. Yes. Record address.
So I'm connected to my network right now through a network card. I'm going to go email.
Email menu.
I'm going to hit W for write.
Central.
And I'm going to type John.
John.
M O R.
John Mortimer. Also send to.
Also send. Copy.
Blind copy.
Blind copy.
Subject.
Our interview.
interview, attach a file to this email.
And this is if I want to attach a file, I could, and it could be a Braille file I could send as a Word or RTF file. I'm going to say no.
Email message.
This is an email,
message.
For you.
Larry,
I'll put my name at the bottom. I'll send it.
Ready to send this email?
Yes.
Yes, save a copy.
I don't want to save a copy.
No, there is one email in the outbox. And no.
And because I'm connected.
Yes.
It'll just simply send that email.
Sending one.
And I'll just automatically send that message because I'm connected to my POP.
Error sending email.
And you know what? I have the wrong email account loaded because I'm connected to my network. I've got a different account loaded.
Right.
So, but if I had my right SMTP information, and it would have sent
now,
it.
Now, when it says send message, do you hit the enter? What do you do?
It says one email in the outbox, send now. You just hit enter. And it would normally give you service to call. And then it would ask you...
and if you were on a dial-up, would it then dial it up?
Yes, it would. I'm just... I hate phone lines. There's no other way to put it.
I understand. Some of us can't afford that on a
stock. I know. But if I can avoid not using a phone line,
I understand. Now, can you give us an example of how it would work with, say, finding a website like maybe CNN?
Yep, I could do CNN, I could do Fox, I could do any of them. Pick
CNN and bring it up.
Okay, let's go CNN.
CNN. CNN, period.
Com.
Please wait.
CNN loads a little slow, but we'll see how it goes. We're at 65% right now. It's showing up on the Braille display.
Hey, Larry,
mm-hmm.
Can you just explain to them what the, I can hear the little beeps that are going on.
Those little beeps are a progress tone that lets you know that either you're sending a message or an email is being loaded.
So it's telling you by those beeps that something definitely is happening here.
Yes, and those beeps can be...
Those are like cues, would you say?
Yes, it would be kind of like your progress bar and so forth.
Okay, gotcha.
And let me see why we're hanging on CNN. Sometimes we do.
CNN takes a while to download.
It does, even on a PC. CNN.com, I can select my read all command, and what you will hear is a high-pitched beep, which will signify that we're crossing a link, and there's also Braille representation. It shows you that there's a link beginning and starting.
Now, will it speak link, or what?
No, we didn't want to do link, because we thought it was too verbose. We got a beep before each link, and you could basically stop it on that when it says beep, and then the words, you could hit a key to stop it, and you'll be right on the link.
So you hear a beep next to whatever the link word is? Is that how?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and do that.
Yeah, go do that.
Click here to skip to main content. 1. CNN.com. Click here. 1.
So if I wanted, I could have stopped on click here, and would just be able to go to click here. I could also navigate to click here pretty easily and just hit enter on it with backspace or space. But it is it's a high pitched beep because we found in showing it to people that link was just adding extra verbiage to the mix.
Okay.
And it is something that...
So can you jump from, like, link to link? Let us hear what that sounds like.
Yeah. So I'll go back to the top of the web page.
Top of the page. Bookmark.
So if I go and just start moving link to link.
Click here. CNN Europe. CNN Asia. On CNN TV.
So let's say if I knew on CNN TV was where I wanted to go from the top of the page.
Uh-huh.
Top of the page. Bookmark.
And I just loaded it. I could just press O.
On CNN TV.
And it brings me to my first O link, so it's very hotkey driven.
Mm-hmm.
I could hit C.
CNN International.
I could then hit L.
Law.
And it'll take me down to the law link further down the page. So it's very, you're kind of like always in that list view dialogue that you might have with a screen reader. You're kind of in that virtual mode all the time.
How would you access your favorite list? Can you show us how that might work?
Yes, I could press... two ways. I could hit Enter O to open up a new website.
Address.
And rather than typing an address,
in my favorites folder.
I could hit type list of. I just moved to my list of favorites by hitting my space bar.
The Universal Currency Converter. Keep access worldindex.url. Add international.url.
And so I can just hop. Let's say I want to go to something like Web Braille. I can hit W.
Mm-hmm.
Webevents.url.
And then move forward with a space.
Webbraille.url.
And press enter.
Okay.
And it'll bring up my Webbraille account.
Please wait. Enter network password dialog.
And I could enter my password and username in this dialog box, and away I would be on Web Braille.
And can you hook this device up to a Braille or regular printer and print things off the net?
You can print things off the net, and we'll get it so that it will be embossable. We should have another free upgrade to this version of KeySoft next month, and hopefully we can get that worked in. But yes, you can. You can do that.
So
even if you couldn't, you could paste into a word processing document.
Paste and copy and all that good stuff.
Yep.
So the big $64,000 question is, how much does this little device cost me?
Should I let the sales rep handle that?
Mr. Mortimer, how much does this cost?
We can start off basically with the voice note, and the voice note is. Does exactly the same thing as the Braille note does, but it does not have any
Braille
display at all.
Right.
They start off at $2,299.
And the Braille note?
And the Braille note starts off at $4,099.
And I take it goes up if I go for the 32 Braille display?
That's right. The first price that I quoted was with a 18 character Braille display.
Let's talk warranty. What's the warranty on the voice note and the Braille note, Mr. Salesman?
The warranty on the voice note and the Braille note is a year. Is that correct, Larry?
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay. I want to talk tech support real quickly because this is an issue. When we as blind people, visually impaired people, buy products, they promise you the sun, the moon, and the stars.
I've never done that.
I'm not going to say the name, but there is a company out there that many of us are using. 1 week has gone by, 2 weeks has gone by, a month has gone by, and we do not have an answer from tech support. I'm going to put your people feet to the fire. John, what happens if 24 to 48 hours go by and I don't have an answer about my tech support question? What are you going to do, Mr. Salesman?
Well, what I would suggest first is actually to call me. If you haven't heard anything from tech support, call me. I have a 1-800 number.
Which is
1-800
722-3393. Which
extension 647.
Okay.
And that actually will ring directly to my cell phone.
Which he usually has because he's somewhere out in the middle of the road.
Somewhere. I would then be able to call tech support.
And see what the heck's going on here?
And see what's going on. I haven't had anyone actually do that. I haven't had any bad responses from tech support at the moment.
What about not only tech support, but what about maintenance agreements? How does that work? And we know a company where they're asking you to send your device in for 30 days before they'll send you or sell you the agreement. What's your philosophy on maintenance agreements?
Typically, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, do you want to answer that?
Typically, what happens is we provide the year, and 9 months into the year, we send out a reminder letter if you want to extend that warranty. The warranty begins when the product is received, shipped out, I should say, and then soon received, and then you have that year built in. 9 months in, we send you a reminder, and I don't have the prices in front of me. I think it's $200 to extend on a voice note for another year.
$200 on the voice note?
And $340 on the 18 and $500 on the 32.
Okay.
That covers parts, labor.
Now, if it breaks down and you have to give me a new one, do I get a new one or do I get a refurbished one?
What happens is we usually have, if it comes in for more than two times, which, you know, is an acceptable argument, then we ascertain getting that replaced depending on the situation. A lot of the situations differ because, quite honestly, firstly, I always come down pretty heavily on the side of the customer, but there are situations where, let's say somebody has spilled a glass of orange juice on a Braille note.
Right.
That's not covered by warranty.
But if you give a new one, is it actually a new one or is it a refurbished one?
If we give a new one, it's usually a new one. Yes.
Okay, because, you know, some places they'll give you the refurbished one and use the one that you sent them for parts or something. I've seen that happen.
Right.
I have questions about the Braille display. How do you move the Braille display? Is it a bar? Is it wheels?
There are thumb keys, four thumb keys along the front, which allow you to move up, down, left, and right. And we chose the thumb key idea because anatomically, if your fingers are on a Braille display, your thumbs naturally just drop in front. And so you don't have to take your hands off. There's also routing cursors on the 18 and 32.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because I think one of the weak points that I found is that advanced and they've corrected that now with the newer models.
Right.
The advanced bars go screwy. I've sent in more units because the advanced bar stuck.
We don't really subscribe to the advanced bar or even the whiz wheel idea because just the thumb keys are so simple and you just drop your fingers and they're there.
Can you scroll?
Yes. You can scroll. You can issue a command to scroll and then control the rate of the scrolling with the thumb keys.
Okay. You have a spell checker.
Have a spell checker.
Good.
And multiple languages if you get different languages installed on your unit. We also have multilingual capability.
Mm-hmm.
May I also mention just a really quick, in keeping with the pricing, we are offering competitive trade-ins.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay, and we are offering, for those who wish, and it's really what we can do, for anybody who has a Braille and Speak and Type and Speak wishing to trade into a Braille note or voice note, we'll knock $400 off the price. If you have a Braille Lite, or a Braille Lite Millennium, we'll knock $600 off. We really have no use for this equipment. There's nothing we can really use it for, but it's just something to give you a little something if you're interested in changing to a new note taker. So it's an idea you might be able to do a little better if you sold it yourself, but it's something that we're offering up until at least December 31st this year.
Before I run out of time, what kind of things are you planning next for the Braille note and the voice note, and kind of give us an idea of what upgrades you see happening?
We will be having a fairly large upgrade around CSUN, and I can't really get into all the details of that just because we're still sorting out the details. We will be having an initial fix to a few things that we want to change with just how the web browser handles a few things. There's just a couple of bugs that slipped through the cracks in December. In January, we should be releasing KeySync, which allows us to synchronize with Microsoft Outlook, our planner, address list, and email client.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be free to all Keysoft 4 users with the web browser. That's just something that you'll just get if you want it. We have some localization efforts in other parts of the world with German and French that will be coming out for our customers up in Canada as well as France and then the German-speaking countries in late January. Then we'll have a fairly large release end of March, early April, and I'm just not at liberty to get into all the details of that release this early.
One other thing we need to talk about real quickly that we haven't, and that's the GPS system that works with the Braille Note Voice Note. Talk about that real quickly and the cost for that.
Yep, GPS is an actual add-on. It's not something that comes with the unit.
Right,
it allows you to identify where you're at based off of GPS technology, which direction you're going, and allows you to identify commercial points of interest around you, such as restaurants, gas stations, museums, different things like that, that are automatically come with and logged state by state with the system. You can then put other additional pieces of information on route to those places, and it allows you just to more or less have that secondary means of identifying your surroundings. It is not a replacement for a cane or a guide dog. It's more like you're able to look around and look at signs as to what's around you versus getting around.
And the cost for that is?
$649. That would include your receiver, all your points of interest for North America, the GPS software that works on all Braille Note models, and so forth.
It's the same for Braille and Voice Note?
Yep.
Okay. So that is more or less an additional thing that you do pay extra for?
It's an additional thing because we didn't feel that adjusting the price to reflect it in all products would be appropriate because there will be some who do not want it or need it.
Okay, and as you pointed out really well, we talked about this morning, it's not a replacement for a cane or a guide.
Definitely not. In fact, we qualify that in the manual so that we cover ourselves from a liability standpoint.
So it can't tell you, hey, the guy put a trash can in front of the door?
No. Okay. It would tell you that you're approaching maybe a door, or a specific door, like door to the radio station or what have you. You could plug.
Does it tell you like how many feet to it or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
And it has anywhere from 3 to 30 foot radius, depending on your GPS fix. So it's also not accurate like a cane. If you're trailing along, you find the door. It will say approaching such and such when you get to within an extra amount of feet.
What's the battery life on the Braille note and the voice note and the battery life with the GPS?
Well, the battery life on the Braille note is 22 hours, and with the voice note it's more like 25 hours. If you're using it with the GPS, it's not going to affect the Braille note so much, but you typically get about 15 hours out of your Magellan GPS receiver, which runs off of two AA batteries.
Okay. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that we need to talk about before we wrap up here, gentlemen?
I think we've covered quite a bit. We are committed to staying on the forefront of this technology and also continuing along the same path of our product philosophy, which we discussed earlier, and are very fortunate to have John in that area providing you the local sales support that you need. So that's all I have to say.
John, if somebody wants to call you about maybe buying one of these devices, your number again is?
Is 1-800-722-3393, extension 647.
And Larry, if somebody wanted to talk with you, bend your ear about maybe a product concern, how might they reach you?
Two ways. You could call 800-722-3393 and dial extension 664. You could also email me, which I travel quite a bit, so that's a pretty good pretty safe bet. Some of the time I'm out of the country. So
right.
Larry L, L-A-R-R-Y-L, at PulseData, P-U-L-S-E-D-A-T-A .com.
Gentlemen, we thank you so much for coming in and talking with us about these devices, and we presented this information in case you're interested. We're not endorsing these products, but we wanted to let you know that they're out there, and we hope you enjoy today's program. I'm Jim Layton. This is TalkBack, and you're listening to Radio Information Service in Belleville, Illinois.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all of the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen, inviting you to join us again for another Main Menu.